Hi, this is Dave O'Mara, and this is 5x5 on Thursday, May 26th, 2005. I'm continuing today with The Death of the Homunculus, an episode, an important incident in my personal intellectual history, in the development of my view of the world and of human nature and of my own nature and of all of our natures. So there I was in June 1981.
The law of inertia that we do have
in the post-Newtonian, post-Kepler world
is one in which
Jefferson Towers,
it's determined by a differential equation of the second order, which means that it is determined by the position
on parking lots and around the perimeter and going through the empty office building at night with a nightstick that I had not been trained in how to use, so thank goodness I never encountered anybody, because I probably would have either, you know, gotten killed or killed somebody, and both would have been disastrous consequences. So most of the night, besides these tour tours
I think it's good writing, and I like
But it's also because this is a book that I'm torn by because of its quality, and it's been very difficult to read. And I guess I'll come back to that.
Dealt with interrupting Fernando,
what I would call the 3 a.m. apartment hunter, who came around looking for an apartment at 3 a.m. on a very, very sub-zero night in his shirt sleeves, to top it off. So why did these two crazy people become such an issue for me? I suppose we need to get back into the individual moments of their own stories that caused the problem for me.
For Sylvia, the seriously mentally ill,
the main problem came from the mental hospital
and the beginning of putting everybody out on drugs and back into the community. And Sylvia was very exhaustive article about her bouncing around through the system at that time. And this is one of the articles that I would have read while I was working at Madison Presidential Plaza,
nature accidentally being perfect in a way not required by her own laws. Such an hypothesis is so unlikely that it need not delay
us. No one will ever believe that there can be such a
being married to John Travolta and being John Travolta and getting married to other people
by law.
Out of all this, she would suddenly be able to see something that clearly, and you know, if there's an element of metaphor in that, you know, being a mental patient is a job, but it's the kind of metaphor that's so accurate that it almost goes beyond being a metaphor and becomes simply a statement of fact, or rather it becomes it's a fresh metaphor, since nearly everything we say involves some sort of metaphor.
At this point, in a moment, he launches it, the semi-crazy guy. He proved himself to be fully crazy by launching into word salad, just totally incoherent ramblings about God and chemistry, and
are swept very slowly along the audible world,
the physical
smirched with divine,
they seem inclined to linger and plunge into darkness, the illusion of space afforded to the serried ranks of houses by the narrow streets, a darkness provoked more by their approach than by any actual shadow they cast. And the reason I find this book difficult to read, or difficult to
tell the children again that she is Wonder Woman,
tells them that she and another classmate once composed a piece of music called A Cantata on Beechnut Peppermint Gum, and starts talking quickly. For a long time, I wanted to go on What's My Line as a mental patient, she says. Being a mental patient really is my profession.
The earlier metaphor that was applied to people's
like Medicaid, Medicare,
mental illnesses, which was that they were possessed by the devil.
So
the other problem had to do with the 3 a.m. apartment hunter and his the underlying cohesiveness of his actions that night, in that he managed to get himself seemed to have the intention of being taken to the emergency room and spending the night there, and he successfully achieved that goal.